Alleluia. Open our hearts, O Lord, to listen to the words of your Son. Alleluia. 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 The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus came with his disciples into the house. Again, the crowd gathered, making it impossible for them even to eat. When his relatives heard of this, they set out to seize him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. Whenever anyone is received in the Catholic Church, priest has options. There are always proper readings that we can choose, talking about the meaning of the Church, talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, the sacrament of confession, confirmation that will come later. But I've always had the preference to use the readings of the day, because what we're preparing someone for in entering into the Church is to live the faith day by day. And the words of sacred scripture always have a powerful meaning. Today's word that God gives us on the day from all eternity, it circled the calendar to welcome Barry into full communion with the Church his son founded, has a particularly strong message for a man of very strong character. Today, Jesus' relatives, likely his cousins from the Nazareth area, came to seize him in Capernaum because they said he is out of his mind. They thought he was nuts. After all, according to worldly standards, he certainly seemed to be. He had given up a good job as a carpenter in his hometown to adopt a lifestyle in which he, by his own admission, wouldn't even have a place to lay his head. Rather than being respected, he was preaching in a way that got even Pharisees and Herodians, two groups who were absolutely inimical to each other, to conspire together to kill him. Homicidal provocations that Jesus would incite, even in his hometown, when his neighbors for most of his life would, as a mob, try to throw him off a cliff on which Nazareth had been built. He surrounded himself by a curious group of followers, fishermen, a loathsome tax collector, even a zealot who wanted to kick out the Romans at all costs. He had, in other words, turned his back on worldly security, on personal safety, on the wisdom of most in society. And his cousins thought that they needed to come to rescue him from himself. And let's not water it down. By worldly standards, Jesus is crazy. The world claims that to be happy you have to be rich. He tells us we need to be poor in spirit. The world says you need to be strong and finish fights others start. Jesus says we need to be meek and peacemakers. The world claims that you need to be sexy and sexually active lest you shrivel up and die. Jesus says you have to be pure of heart. The world dictates you need to be the life of the party. Jesus says you have to be so sensitive to others' needs that you mourn. The world says you shouldn't have a care in the world. Jesus says you need to be starving for holiness. The world says you need to be popular, liked, and admired. Jesus says you need to be reviled and persecuted. And that's just the start. He'll go on to say that we need to turn the other cheek, to pray for our persecutors, to love even those who have made themselves our enemies, to deny ourselves, pick up our cross each day, and follow him along the road to crucifixion, to lose our life in order to save it. You should be clear. By worldly standards, Jesus is crazy. And what he asks of us is crazy by worldly standards. St. Paul called the first Christians in Corinth to be fools for Christ. Real Christians, according to worldly standards, are part of a global insane asylum. We believe, after all, as Catholics, that here at Mass, we consume not bread and wine, but God himself in the appearance of bread and wine. We believe that when Barry is sealed with the olive oil filled with balsam that the Church blesses and calls sacred chrism, that the same Holy Spirit that came down upon the apostles and Mary in the upper room on Pentecost Sunday will come down upon him. We believe that if we have faith the size of a tiny mustard seed, we can move mountains. We believe that we're more related to each other by the blood of Christ received in baptism than identical twins are related to each other by genes. What's the source of Jesus' insanity? It's contained in the Greek expression that is translated exousia, out of his mind. It means that he was out of himself. It means that he wasn't concerned fundamentally with self-preservation. Wasn't concerned with human respect. He was concerned fundamentally with his Father's glory and our salvation. He lived, he thought, he acted for the Father and for others. He lived outside of himself, and he calls us to be crazy with him in the same way. Jesus' ancestor in the flesh, his 28th generation grandfather, King David, was similarly crazy. We see it in today's first reading and have been seeing it throughout the week in the readings from the first and second books of Samuel. David was continuously hunted down by Saul to be slain for nothing other than helping Saul lead and defeat his enemies. Saul was envious. He first thought of killing him, but relented at the request of his son Jonathan. Then later he was hunting him down and relented when David showed that he could have killed him while he was relieving himself in a cave. Refused. He began to hunt him down once more, and David could have killed him at night, but didn't. Saul just couldn't stop. And after David received word that Saul had died, if David were like us, most of us at least, he should have dropped to his knees and said, "Thanks, Lord. Now life can get back to normal." But he didn't. He mourned rather than rejoiced. He rent his garments, wept and fasted until evening, saying, "Alas, the glory of Israel, Saul, slain upon your heights. Women of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet and finery." He remembered Saul's great triumphs for Israel, rather than Saul's invidious personal animosity. How crazy is that? David would do the same after son Absalom turned on him and sought to put him to death so that he could become king in his place. And Jesus, almost 30 generations later, would do the same, praying for his persecutors, loving to the end on Calvary. Jesus' standards are crazy in comparison to the world's. He wants us to love like David, to love like he himself loves. And the saints are the ones who have. And they too have so often been considered crazy. We can think of St. Francis of Assisi, whose father thought he had lost his mind when he sought to live wedded to lady, poverty, chastity, and obedience, to take the gospel literally, to sell fabrics in order to rebuild a dilapidated church on the slope of Assisi. Even to kiss lepers in their wounds. When his father accused him before Bishop Guido of selling his riches for the church, Francis coughed to doing so, and then admitted that the very clothes he was wearing came likewise from his dad's generosity. So he stripped naked, returned the clothes to his father, and said he was now able to depend fully on the providence of Padre Nostro che sei in cielo, our Father, you who are in heaven. We can think of St. Clare, who followed him down this ludicrous path according to the world. And think of St. Anthony the Desert, when the church celebrated early this week, being the first to leave civilization behind and go in search for God in the desert. St. Mary Ann Cope, who the church will celebrate on Tuesday, who left running hospitals in Syracuse to go to work with St. Damien of Malachi, caring for the lepers in Hawaii. And most poignant are the martyrs, like the two we celebrate today, how crazy they were for Christ. Pope St. Fabian stayed in Rome to strengthen his brothers and sisters when he was on the Emperor Decius' most wanted list. St. Sebastian was a Roman soldier in the north who came to the city to care for the Christians preparing for martyrdom. Eventually gave himself away as a Christian himself and was pierced by scores of arrows and left for dead. When the Christians took his body to bury it, they realized he was still breathing and nursed him back to life. But as soon as he had sufficiently recovered, rather than get well, he went to a staircase where he knew the emperor would pass and accosted him and called him to conversion. The emperor was at first stunned, seeing a man seemingly returned from the dead. But then he ordered him to be beaten to death. St. Fabian and Sebastian and all the other martyrs were capable of the courage they showed because they believed in something crazy. That Jesus had risen from the dead 40 hours after he was publicly executed. And that if not even crucifixion could keep him down, they had confidence that even a brutal martyrdom at the hands of a Roman emperor couldn't end their life either. They were prepared to witness to that truth in life and death and eternal life. It's important for us, it's important, Barry, for you, to recognize that the path to which God calls you, the path of being accounted a fool for Jesus Christ, staking your entire life not on earthly securities, but on his call and on his promises. To be a faithful Catholic today, to follow a vocation to holiness, is something that the world doesn't understand and many mock. Many think you're out of your mind, Barry, becoming a Catholic in 2018. When I became a seminarian, people said I was, Father, what a waste. Throwing away a Harvard education and so many things in the middle of the world in order to be celibate, poor, and obedient to bishops, good or bad, for the rest of my days. So many young women who enter the convent are told, not just by secularists, but even Catholic family members, that they're tossing their life away. Those who make the faith a priority are often called by others fanatics. But God wants us to be ready for this. Just as Jesus was thought to be out of his mind, so every disciple will likewise be maligned. We have to realize that the wisdom of this world is not God's wisdom. And we seek to live in the real, real, real world. Those who do are truly the same ones. Those who don't live in God's world, who don't see the things the way they really are going to be the ones who forever will recognize that they were a saint. We, as Christians, are the followers of the eternal nous incarnate, God's own wisdom in the flesh. Barry, I'm so honored to be able to be the church's representative to welcome you into full communion with the Lord. Prepared many people for baptism, hundreds. I've prepared many others for reception into the church. And I've never had someone work as hard as you. I don't think anybody will be surprised that Barry didn't leave any stone unturned. When I work one-on-one in giving instruction to individuals, I'll always give a list of things that I want them to read, but I'll put things into different categories. 5 books in category A, and I'm asking him to do 1. 5 in category B, 5 in category C. So I sent that list to Barry. And a couple weeks later, Barry wrote back, and he said he had read almost every book in each of those categories. And then he started to name all the other books he had picked up in bookstores that he had likewise devoured. What a good choice, Barry, filling your mind with the thoughts that will come from above. I know a priest friend we have in common who was so excited that you're entering the church and wanted to be here today, but it's very difficult for priests to be outside of their parishes on Saturday afternoons. But when I was talking to Father Billy Byrne and asked him if he wanted anything to say to you at the rite of your reception in the church, he asked me to convey, please tell Barry that I'm praying for him and that this step is not a graduation, but just the beginning. God has plans as yet unimagined on how he wants to use you, Barry, to build up his kingdom. So I pray that just as hard as you work to get to know the Catholic faith in this time of preparation for full reception, you'll continue to work. Because as one cardinal said to me 30 years ago, I think it's even more appropriate of you, God needs your mind. He needs your courage. He needs you. Barry has had a lot of friends who have prayed for him and set the example that have brought him here to this day. In a special way, he asks that this Mass be offered for 2 that have prayed, that have followed, we pray, the footsteps of the martyrs and the saints, Paula Nowakowski and Mike Connell. Barry explained to me how their witness always showed the light that attracted him more and more toward the Catholic faith. He didn't want to embarrass any of the living, but he's so grateful for your presence here too. The summit of Christian insanity is the cross. St. Paul pointed it out to the early church when he said, has not God made the wisdom of the world foolish? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not come to know God through wisdom, it was the will of God through the foolishness of the proclamation to save those who have faith. For Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block for Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those who are called, Jews and Greeks alike, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. The cross is the greatest contradiction of worldly wisdom and the greatest manifestation of the divine wisdom of love, which is Christian life. As we prepare, and Barry prepares for the first time, to receive the fruit of the new tree of life, which is the cross of wisdom, we ask the Lord for the grace that he might enter into full communion with Jesus' holy craziness, so that like the saints, he might live out of his mind, out of himself, just like Christ did, for the Father's glory and the salvation of the world. Barry, as Father Byrne said, this is not the beginning. This is not graduation, this is the beginning of a life that will lead to the fullness of what you will now profess. Praise be Jesus Christ.